Good morning.
Good morning.
Certainly good to have everybody out today. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17 through the end of the chapter. The title of the lesson is Remember Jesus? There's a question mark on the end of it. It's so easy to get busy in your life and to forget Jesus kind of gets pushed in the background of your thinking. The Corinthians have done that. It's about the Lord's Supper. Our guys do a wonderful job with the Lord's Supper. They really do. But I'm going to carry that a lot further this morning. And there's at least seven implications, maybe ten. Who knows where I'll go with that. But there's much more to it and much more that we need to understand. When I preach like the Apostle Paul. The further it goes, the clearer it gets. And that's what's going to happen here in 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17 through 21, we can come together for the worse. We as Christians can come together and end up with God being disgusted with us, angry with us, and it can happen if we're not careful. Verse 17, but in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. I can't say nothing good about this, but come at the Corinthian church. Because you come together for the worse. You and I should come together to worship God and go away God-centered in our lives, and a lot of things should get solved right there. Whether it's our worries, whether it's our guilt, they should get solved right there. Especially when we come to the Lord's Supper. Verse 18, for in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that division exists among you, and in part, I believe it. It's sinful for the church to gather to worship God and to be divided. You know, you can follow your jealousies, your desire to be arrogant and prideful and be better than others, and then you're going to come together to worship God as if He doesn't notice. Oh, we want Him to notice when we're deathly sick. But a lot of times, we know God sees all, knows all. But we sometimes act as if He doesn't see. There's divisions in the church at Corinth. It's wrong to be divided. Denominationalism is just dividing it on a bigger scale. It's still sinful. Verse 19. For there must also be factions among you, in order that those who are approved may have become evident among you. He said sometimes divisions are good. It shows who's right and who's wrong. The standard of God is clear. Now, you may not think you're wrong when you're wrong, but what? If there's division in the church, there's at least one party wrong, and it may be all parties wrong. That's a bad sign when you've got divisions. And then you're going to come take the Lord's Supper. Verse 21. Or verse 20, rather. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, the purpose of coming is to take the Lord's Supper. There are no day laws in the New Covenant. Galatians 4, 8 through 12. Now, you're going the wrong direction if you're honoring days. The only time the Lord's Day is mentioned is in the book of Revelation. You know, that's what they call it. But there are no days required. You come together to take of the Lord's Supper. Now in 1 Timothy 4:13, Timothy the preacher is commanded in public reading of Scripture. Exhortation, teaching, that's all part of the gathering together, but the main function is the Lord's Supper. Verse 20, therefore when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. The implication is you should be there for the Lord's Supper. They're not there to eat the Lord's Supper. They're going to take the Lord's Supper, but that's not why they're there. Verse 21, for in your eating, each one has his own supper first, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. In the first century, you had to walk. If you were rich, you could ride in a carriage. But can you imagine some of you driving as far as you drove today in a carriage? Can you imagine walking across town in the rain today? I mean, those people in the 1800s going to church, and I mean, they're warming up bricks and they're putting in the carriage just to go. They want to go worship God. They had a purpose and they sacrificed to do that. We've got the cars and we can jump in it in 15, 20 minutes without a pain. These people have come, they're tired, they brought a meal. And the city people are going to get there, they don't have long to walk. And they eat their meal, their common meal, and they never give a thought to the poor people, the slaves who have to come a long way. Never gave a thought about their brethren and that they might have needs. They may be hungry. They may be tired. Never gave a thought. He's not praising them. This is the church of the people Jesus died for. And each one, no matter what their status in life, is saved. Unless they get thrown out. You know. Well, point number two, verse 22 through 26, he's going to ask them a question. He's not going to ask them a question. He's going to tell them, basically, do you despise the church of God? It sure like looks like you despise these poor people. Verse 22, what? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Why didn't you eat before you came? Why are you in this mess here that you're in? What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God? Who do you think those people are? They're the people that belong to Jesus, recognized by God, and you're going to show them no thoughtfulness at all? And then go in and take the Lord's Supper? What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? You're a poor person. You're a slave. But you love God and you want to come to worship. You've walked 10 miles this morning. I knew a preacher down in Belize, Central America, way down south in the Mayan villages, an older guy. And they'd say he'd get up and he would walk up these big hills and humid and hot. He'd get up 4 o'clock in the morning and head to preach 30, 40 miles down the road. There are no cars out that time of day. And then it's evening, what? We walk back home. He got a lot of respect for me real quick. You know, why? He was trying to do what he could to be helpful to the Lord. Well, here are these people. They're eating their dinner and they're not thinking about nobody else. He ends verse 22. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. I'm not encouraging this stuff at all. This is not good. Why is it not good? Well, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Coming together is to remember Jesus and to remember the death of Jesus. And in the night he was being betrayed. He wasn't thinking of himself. There was no selfishness in him. Tomorrow he's fixing to sacrifice himself for the sins of the world. And he's talking about my body which is broken for you. He's instituting the Lord's Supper, but he's thinking about the beneficiaries of his death tomorrow. That's what he was thinking. These folks ain't thinking about nobody but themselves. And so you know what? When he refers to his body and the bread that we take, he's talking about our past sins have been solved. That problem has been solved. When you and I come together, we remember that. We have reasons to do better. I mean, we have reasons to love Jesus because all the charges have been erased. They've been dropped. I mean, that's what we're coming together to remember. That's one of the things. Night Jesus betrayed, he talked about giving his life for them, his body. Verse 26, 25. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often you drink in remembrance of me. The new covenant in his blood. You and I have entered a covenant relationship with God. You and I might not recognize it. But he knows it. We made a deal here at baptism. You wanted forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38. And I granted you forgiveness of sins, and you're just going to walk on by as if nothing happened. There's no response. There's no love in return. There's no thoughtfulness. You know, you buy a house, you sign a covenant. You quit paying the payments and what? We'll take the house back. What about the Lord? Can he revoke the covenant? Can he cut you off? Yes. And that's what we're talking about here in the Corinthians. You know, verse 25, in the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so we're taking the blood, the fruit of the vine, and we remember that we're under a new covenant where Jesus is a mediator between us and God. If we have future sin problems, there's hope. And that's just reminding us of that. That we need to be dealing with sin because sin's a problem to God. And it's taking the blood of Jesus in order for God to drop the case and grant you mercy and forgiveness and grace. Verse 27 through 34, do you despise the death of Jesus? Is the issue here. Verse 27, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. They give a thought to the brethren. Totally unselfish. Totally selfish, rather. Jesus was totally unselfish. And now they're going to take the Lord's Supper as all this as if we're one. No, you're guilty of killing Jesus. God views you as on the other side. That's what did it. It was selfishness that put him to death. And now the church is going to come together and take the Lord's Supper with an attitude of heart of selfishness and not be guilty? They're on the wrong side. Well, he's talking about the seriousness of the Lord's Supper. And sometimes we're kind of indifferent. Sometimes we get in a fight with a wife at 7 o'clock Sunday morning and we take the Lord's Supper as if nothing's wrong. Something's wrong. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. The solution, the purpose of the Lord's Supper is to get our minds back to the death of how all our past sins have been solved, and our future sins can be dealt with if we're honest. And it's a time to examine yourself. You don't want to lose that favor. When you leave the church building and you had an attitude that was wrong, that should be gone. If you examined yourself and you see, whoa, and you know it, everybody knows it when they got a wrong attitude. You examine yourself first and clean that problem up, and then you eat and drink the Lord's Supper. And you walk away free of guilt. Lord has no problem with you. You have no problem with the Lord. You and Him agree that Jesus' death makes a difference in my life. Verse 29. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. And in this case, we're talking about how they're treating the rest of the church people. You need to respect people. I'm not up here on hellfire and damnation all the time. Why? Because I believe Jesus died for you. And that you're part of the body of Christ, and I'm going to treat you as if that's so. If it gets so bad where I have to come down in heaven and earth and hell and brimstone comes, it'll come. But I treat you as if you're the people that Jesus died for. And so if we eat the Lord's Supper in the wrong way, we're eating judgment to ourselves. We're not once saved, always saved here. Verse 30. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep, spiritually dead. Why? Because the Lord's watching. He notices attitudes. That's why the church at Corinth is weak and sick, and many are asleep. Why should He bless them? Why should He grant them life if they got a really bad attitude? Well, just watch it. Look further. Verse 31. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we should not be judged. If we're honest with ourselves and honest with Him, what? We will clean up our problems. We won't let those things linger on. And there's no problem. Verse 32. But when we are judged, we're disciplined by the Lord in order that we may not be condemned along with the world. The world don't care about Jesus. The world's not about interest in doing His will. And so they're going to end up condemned. God disciplines His people. What that means is we bring pain into their life when they're wrong if they refuse to deal with it honestly themselves. And so He says when we're judged, we're disciplined by the Lord in order that we may not be condemned along with the world. You're going to let your kid start off in drugs and not say nothing? Not do anything if you know it? If you don't, you don't love them. God is love. God and Jesus will do something. He's looking at you and me and we come together. And we should come together and leave knowing that we're okay, not only as far as guilt, but attitude. Because we understand the implications. The Corinthians, they're not thinking about Jesus. They're just thinking about themselves. And so the end result, verse 30, for this reason, many among you are weak and sick and numberlessly. That's why they got their problems in life. Because of their attitude. Now there's simple solutions to problems. In the church in the past, people have taught it's wrong to eat in a church building based on these verses. Number one, they didn't have any church buildings in the first century, so therefore there are no church building laws. But we don't think. These people walk to church, the rich and the sect that hangs out together, they bring all everything for the potluck. But never think about the poor people. How the poor people feel? They feel ashamed. They feel lesser Christians. And that's not true. Jesus died for them. And people showing them no respect. And then you're going to take the Lord's Supper as if we're one? You know, you probably need to look for lightning. You know, you thank God the Lord don't strike you every week when you're pulling that stuff. You're pulling the individual stuff. There's a simple solution, verse 33. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Talking about meal. Why don't we wait? I was at a church and, you know, you can continually be shocked. They have a potluck after services and everybody rushes over to the dessert table. And they get two or three big pieces of pie cake so that they don't miss out on the end. I'm sitting there, my. Selfishness. So all they're thinking about is making sure they get some. It doesn't matter if the visitors don't get any. They're not thinking of nobody but themselves. And we just took the Lord's Supper. He said, why don't you just wait for one? Why don't we think of the other people involved? Verse 34, if anyone's hungry, let him eat at home. Why don't you eat something along the way? Why don't you carry a snack? I'm a diabetic, so I carry a little stuff here and there because you get the shakes or whatever. Why don't you just eat at home? You know, so that you may not come together for judgment. And the remaining matters I shall arrange when I come. Remember Jesus. You know, there's always a solution. Just examine yourself first. When you come, you sit down, the men say the things they say. Look closely at your heart. And you know, you're going to be better off letting it go. I don't care what the reason is, but you don't want to dare take that Lord's Supper with a bad attitude. Because you're going to drink judgment. Right there, God's going to make a decision on you. I don't care if you've been baptized for forgiveness of sins, you've been in a church 40 years, that attitude will be noted. And since He's trying to save your soul, and you won't listen, and it's a seated attitude, we're going to have to discipline you. We're going to have to try to move you back to where you had the right attitude. You and I should be aware that God's watching, and He's looking at our attitudes, and He's looking at our attitudes toward the rest of the brethren. I mean, sometimes brethren are obnoxious. Sometimes brethren, you know, they're not right attitudes. But what we're concerned about is your attitude toward you and God and your attitude toward the brother. You have to work out your own salvation. And in this system, we take the Lord's Supper every week until it comes. You notice verse 26, for as often you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We're the people who have hope. That's why we're sticking with Jesus. That's why we want to be guilt-free. We want to be without blemish. We want to be blameless. We don't want to get caught trapped in sin. And we ought to live as if Jesus could come this year, this month, this day, this hour. Well, he hadn't come in my lifetime. I got some room. And what if you're wrong? You'll regret that forever. And all those people in hell will remind you every day forever. Because you were the religious one. You were the one. And y'all the people that claimed you take the Lord's Supper every week. Nobody else does that. Well, the reason we do it is because we have hope. And the Lord says to do it. And it benefits us. It gives us an assurance that we're okay. And he tells us to examine ourselves so we stay okay. You know, the people of God, Israel, in the first century, they killed the Son of God. They voted to kill him. Peter gets up and accuses them of that in Acts chapter 2. And they stop the sermon. What shall we do? Some people believed him that he was accusing them of killing the Son of God. And he said, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you should receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You and I have the Holy Spirit within. We like the verse in Romans 8, 26, 27 that, well, we don't know how to pray. He's interceding according to the will of God. We like that verse. He knows when we're hurting. He knows when we don't know what to say, when we're so bad off. We like that. What do you think he does when you take the Lord's Supper in the wrong way? He knows that too. So the thing for you and me is to make sure we understand we're under a new covenant where there is mercy, there is forgiveness, there is hope through the blood of Jesus. We got a covenant relationship with God where he promises to be merciful of our iniquities, remember our sins no more. Hebrews 8:12. And we don't want to take any chances with that hope. If you need to respond anyway, won't you come as we stand and sing?